What's up, Atlanta? Happy Thursday with Turtle. Here for one and a half. Yeah, Zorn and I struggle as we always do. But it is a 90-minute shorty show, so you know what that means. It's me and it's you. We'll have one small detour as we welcome in D-Led to the program, D. Orlando Ledbetter of the AJC. Thanks, Turtle. He'll be popping on in about an hour to give us all the latest. Oren Romain, if you saw this, a lengthy injury report for the Atlanta Falcons. It's more, it might be easier to name who's not on it than who is on it. So we'll talk to him about all that. Does he think Penix is going to play? And a whole lot more. Some quick hitters before we get into the Falcons. Trae Young out for tomorrow with the knee injury. So that'll be a tough game against the Pacers. It's one of those Oren NBA Cup games. So there'll be a fancy court. There'll be some fanfare. Those games now, I believe, are actually exclusively on Fridays now. Ooh, get excited. I'm not a big NBA Cup guy, but listen, man, if it gets you to watch the games, I guess they're doing something right. Like, I love NBA basketball, regular season basketball. I don't need extra incentive to watch the Hawks. I enjoy it. So I guess that's just their way of trying to attract the more casual fan in. But, like, I'm good. I watched the game last night. I know it wasn't a great one, but, like, you know, the season is, for me, it's interesting. Because for me, the NBA regular season doesn't feel too long. Like, I like watching the regular season games. To me, it's not baseball. It doesn't have that same sloggy feel. I mean, if you're the Hawks the last couple of years and you can't get back on track, sure. And maybe the NBA Cup is a way for, you know, some of the lesser teams out there. Like, Oren, maybe the Wizards have a chance. Maybe the Hornets have a chance. I don't know. Maybe the Trailblazers have a chance. You know, teams that are definitely not vying for a regular NBA season title this year. So I just, like, again, I think it's kind of gimmicky, but we'll see it tomorrow. Some of the courts are cool. I think the Hawks one is definitely one of the cooler ones. So we'll see. We'll see if it adds any more drama and flair. But the bottom line is that the Hawks will be without Trae Young at least for one more game as he tries to get that knee injury situation right. World Series, another epic one. Oren, this Trae, you savage, man. He broke the Major League postseason record for starts with the most strikeouts. He's had two 12-plus strikeout games in the postseason.
And he pitched, what, like 11 innings? It was like something insanely low.
He had three starts in the regular season. And he shut out the Yankees with 12 strikeouts in the ALDS. And then he struck out 12 last night. What is going on?
He's doing all right is what's going
on. That dude is insane. And then they'll try to wrap things up tomorrow. I tweeted this out, and it's already getting a little bit of response on Twitter. I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not really. Oren, let me get your opinion on this, and then we'll get into the Falcons. I just tweeted this out. Go respond to it, at C Thomas Radio. Why the NFL is king, : Thursday Night Football features teams with a combined 4-11 record, which is true, the Dolphins and the Ravens, and it will absolutely outdraw a great World Series.
That's true.
And this...
Bad football outdraws good sports consistently.
Because people are going to be more interested to see, A, Lamar's return, and B, if the Dolphins can double up on what they did against us last weekend. And that collectively will draw more of a mass interest than what has been... Or, correct me if I'm wrong, this has felt like one of the best World Series we've seen in a long time. This has been great.
They've been competitive, those games, you want to say, for like the first 6-7 innings, and then they kind of change late. And if you're going to have a World Series that's going to go five or six games, you at least want those games to not be decided by the time you reach the fifth inning.
So let's see. So I'll be interested to see when the ratings come out for both of these by Friday. If tonight's Thursday Night Football game does a bigger rating than tomorrow's potential Toronto clinching game at home for the World Series, Interesting stuff. 404-726-0929. Let's talk some Falcons. I put it off as long as I can. Because you know what, Horn, I'm not going to lie. Part of me doesn't even want to hear this right now because I'm just – we talked about this yesterday. We don't need to rehash yesterday's conversation. Y'all know how I feel about the state of this coaching situation right now. But Zach Robinson did speak. We didn't have the audio yesterday because it was too late in the day, but we do have it now. So let's hear a couple of things, and then we'll get to the phones as soon as we get back. I got the whole rest of this hour to take your calls. This was Zach Robinson meeting the media. Let's hear what he has to say. Let's give it a chance. He says, first, bluntly, the offense just has to be better.
Fix it, and we got to fix it fast. You know, it's last 2 weeks, not reflective of what we had built, you know, the previous 2 weeks. You know, we felt like we built some really positive momentum from Washington, you know, coming off of the Carolina game, built some more momentum into the Buffalo game. You know, went short week, San Fran, there was a lot of things to clean up in that game. And then, obviously, last week, you know, we just got to play a lot better across the board. We got to coach better, all those things.
Okay, well, I guess admitting it's good. Again, the reason I was so angry yesterday is because this is what they did last time. But here's what was missing from that cut, Oren. How about a solution? How about a fix to the problem? Instead of just naming all of the problems, how about we identify some solutions? Let's see if he does this in the next cut. He says the run game issues come down to some identification miscues. Okay, coach.
Obviously, we have not been able to run it as well the last couple weeks. We'll get a lot of those things cleaned up just from a identification standpoint, making sure we're going to the right people. That's been kind of the biggest issue the last couple weeks with running the rock.
Excuse me? I mean, Zach. So you're telling me basic, I'm going to use the football cliche, blocking and tackling for your offense is not being able to be executed right now? I'm sorry, what? Zach, you're saying you can't identify the issues that are going on with communication and getting the play calling right and making sure everybody knows their assignments? That's not encouraging. That's not encouraging. I mean, thank you for admitting it because we could all see it on tape. Or in that one throw, if there's like a low light pass, if this season unfortunately goes down the tank, which we all hope it doesn't, if it does though, and there's like a low light package for the season, obviously the Carolina game is going to be in there. But that one specific throw from Kirk Cousins to David Sills, that's going to be like the featured highlight in the montage for what went wrong this season. All right, let's hear one more from Zach, and then we'll set up the question and get your calls. He went into addressing the criticisms that the offense is too predictable. And this one might be the key right here. This is Zach.
Yeah, I mean, that's not – again, I can't answer for that. You know, I think we have plenty of good stuff that we put on tape. Obviously, we talk to opposing coaches after games, and we get intel from them, and they give us some good feedback in terms of, you know, the difficulty that it can be to defend the scheme. Now, again, if we have the results that we've had the last couple of weeks, we score 10 points, of course, you're going to be susceptible to the outside noise. So we know we have a ton of different mixtures in the run game, pass game. We've got good complements to everything that we do. Again, nothing has really changed from the times we've played well. You know, it just so happens we've had, you know, a couple bad games that have kind of watered that down.
Oh my God. Wow. I could do a whole show just unpacking that one answer. I wish if I had a full show tonight, we'd honestly probably do that. I'd play that clip 3 or 4 times throughout the show and we would just break down each little bit of it because there's so much in there that is so abundantly concerning that I don't even know where to begin. Well, I guess we should begin at the start, right? Where he says, I don't know how to answer that. Because that's what his brain popped up to him first. Or just play the first sentence of that cut again. Just play the first sentence of that cut again.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, again, I can't answer for that.
Okay. He literally stumbles and then goes, I can't answer that. Oren, these are NFL coaches. They're smart men. and smart women that work in these organizations. You don't think for the amount of time that has been spent by the media and the public telling this offense that it is too dang predictable. Every time you turn on your TV, Dan Orlovsky, who we've had on the show, Kurt Warner, you're hearing it over and over and over again. My point to say all of that is, don't you think at least he'd have something prepared to address that question? Like, Zach, you're meeting the media after 2 weeks of getting exposed, and everyone and their mother is accusing your offense of being too predictable. You don't think he would think of an answer? Instead, he says, I can't answer that? I mean, not good. It's just not good. 404-726-0929. So let's relay that to your confidence, folks. If the Falcons do go out and win this game on Sunday, are you even going to be back? Is that even enough for you? Because I think you have every right to call this radio station right now and say, even if they beat the Patriots on Sunday, because of the way this season has gone so far, that you're not fully jumping back on board. And I'd be completely fine with it. Or do you think you will be? Because for me, when I hear stuff like this from Zach, and I hear stuff like what we heard from Raheem, even if they do go out and beat the Patriots on Sunday, to me, until they prove they can be consistent, it's going to feel more like happenstance than it is preparation. And I hate to say it like that, but that's really just how I feel. 404-726-0929. You heard Zach. We heard from Raheem yesterday. How you feeling about this one? 404-726-0929. We take your calls next on Chris Thomas Tonight. Join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game, and it's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 7:30, leading you into Thursday night football coverage. We're taking your calls on the Falcons between now and then, and our buddy D-Led's going to stop by at 7 o'clock on the dot with all the latest from Flowery Branch. So let's get started on the busy, busy phone lines. John, how do you feel, man? We just heard from Zach Robinson. Even if they get this dub on Sunday, it just doesn't feel like we're going to still be where we need to be.
I want to know, who does he think he's talking to? Do you think that you're talking to a fan base of people that don't know that what you are doing out there as far as play design is just as stupid as, man?
I feel you, John. I feel the same way.
I mean, that's the thing. Y'all sitting up here, this man talking to me and trying to explain stuff. Like, we don't know anything about football. Okay, anybody who has played Madden gets a basic understanding about how football works. One play in particular that really just takes all the oil out of my fried chicken is this one. When your back is up against the goal line and you need to come out from back there, you don't have a fullback in the game no kind of way to help block for Bijan, and these people are loading the box up with 7, 8, 9 people. It's just stupid. Everything that we use to run, all of the trickery, the fullback in the backfield using Warner and Algier at the same time, you don't do that. You don't learn from what you don't learn from what has worked for you in the past, because all we trying to do is outsmart you. Okay, we're trying to outsmart you, but there's something lacking in the smarts department. And everybody who is a fan of the Falcons or watches football, they see it. You are lacking, and you are the wrong person to be bringing a quarterback along. It's just like a father buying a child a puppy. Do you turn the child loose with the puppy, or do you guide the child as to how to treat the puppy? Because Zach Robinson is a child, and it's a puppy or a kitten for a girl or whatever. You know, you are supposed to be there to guide them on how to run your offense.
No, John, I gotcha, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. I just got to get to some other people. But you are well heard, sir, because I agree. When I heard that soundbite, we'll play it again before I get out of here, but I just want to make sure we get your calls in. The soundbite that I played in the first segment, if you missed it, when Zach Robinson was asked about this team being predictable on offense, his answer just didn't meet the mark, man. Wow, was it confusing, confounding, whatever word you want to use to John's point. It just did not instill any confidence in me whatsoever. It does not sound like the counterpunch that we're all pleading for is anywhere to be found. I hope we're wrong, and I hope they have it on Sunday. Jeff is up next. Jeff. Jeff, go ahead. All right, let's go to Augie. Augie, you're up next.
Hey, so the Falcons, what they need to do is just stop being different. They hire this guy from the Sean McVay system, and they decide they're going to run this pistol and not do the Sean McVay offense. They're going to draft a rookie quarterback, but they don't want any of the advantage of a first-round contract by signing Kirk Cousins to a $40 million a year contract. I know this is a while ago, and Kyle Pitts has kind of got together, but they're given a top-five pick, which those don't happen very often. Those only come around every once in a while, and they take a tight end, which, looking back, I would gladly take at least half of that first round over Kyle Pitts. Even as a best tight end in the league, I'd rather have half those players over a best tight end in the league. They need to do what everybody else does, and then maybe they'll start winning some games. That's all I got to say.
No, Augie, I appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. I mean, Oren, to say Terry Fontenot's draft style has been a tad bit unconventional, I think would be putting it mildly. The Augie's 100% right. To go back-to-back-to-back offensive players with top 10 picks when you were last in the league in sacks almost every year is, Oren will call it, certainly one way to do it. And then they do it finally this year, and Jalen Walker, he's been hurt, unfortunately, and James Pierce is coming along slowly. He's had a couple of nice games, but he's almost like a whack-a-mole. Like, he pops up for a second, and then he kind of goes back into hiding. You don't really hear from him or see him much. So, to Augie's point, yeah, you can look at a lot of these high first-round draft picks and go, you know, what did we do to design this team to be where it is right now? Which, the answer to that question, to Augie's point, is it supposed to be one of the best damn offenses in the league? You know what it's not? That. Sorry, it's just not right now. 404-726-0929. Ham is up next.
Good afternoon, big guy.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Yeah, man, listen. I'm a New York Giants fan, but I live here in Atlanta, and I watch football. And I want to see the Falcons do well. But the problem is, you can't take a guy like Michael Penix. He didn't play any last year. Put him into a system that he's never ran, something he's not uncomfortable, something he's uncomfortable with, and make it work. It just don't happen that way. Now, yesterday I was listening to Dukes and Bell to the Raheem Morris interview. He was like, oh, I believe this. I believe that. I thought I was listening to R. Kelly. Like, I thought he said he could believe he could fly. Because what you believe is, you're saying, I believe we can win. I know we can win. But you're not showing that on Sundays. And it's unfair to this fan base for you to continuously go out there and not put the right product on the field. I mean, sometimes quarterbacks can't make the transition from the NFL, from college to the NFL.
Hey, Ham, I got to let you go just because you had some interference there going on with your phone. It sounded like you're driving through a wind tunnel. But I get your point. Listen, man, the quarterbacks, to Ham's point, the quarterback development, and thanks for checking in at 404-726-0929. A big part of this whole thing with Zach Robinson is that the quarterback's development is being hampered because they're not able to consistently execute the game plan. That's what it comes down to. Consistency and adjustments. How many times do we need to say those two words over and over and over again? Consistency and adjustments. That's what it comes down to. And to Ham's point, the development of Penix directly falls on the shoulders of Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson. And when you hear answers like Zach gave today or yesterday, whenever it was that he spoke, it just does not inspire the confidence that we need right now. Chris is up next. Chris.
Hey, how's it going? All I'm going to say is that we're going into this Sunday going against this, what, how many wins straight are the Patriots? Five right now? You know, about to go on six. And it's like, what are we going to do? Probably give the ball to Bijan Robinson every single freaking run of the play, because they don't understand. They think that consistency means running same plays, targeting Drake London over and over every single day. And I just don't understand why Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson can't get it through their heads that, I don't know, maybe they need to diversify, you know? Let's go out there. Let's look. We have Kirk Cousins, who doesn't do anything for us. And I'm kind of scared about, you know, his stock has definitely gone down after this performance in Miami. And so now I'm scared we're not going to get much value out of him. But the Falcons need to go out.
Oh, Chris, Chris, they're not getting anything for him. He's staying on this roster for the rest of the season. Nobody's trading anything for him. So you might as well keep him.
So depressing. And it's just like, what are we going to do, right? Like, our defense is amazing. We hold teams to what? I think it's around under 150 yards a game, right? And we can't do anything on offense. I just don't understand, you know? So, yeah, I'm frustrated as a Falcons fan, and I feel like maybe, I don't even know. Just, I would say new coach, but what are we going to do, you know?
No, Chris, I get it, man. And I appreciate the passion and the frustration. I'm right there with you. That's why we're talking about it. When you hear, over the last 2 days, I have been made, Oren, you ready for these words? After hearing Raheem yesterday and Zach Robinson today, I have been made sullen and melancholy about the state of where the Atlanta Falcons are right now. Not good. It's not good. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to feel uninspired when I hear the offensive coordinator talk about what they're going to do to fix this. I don't want to feel uninspired when the coach is giving out, we're the best offense since 2016. Ugh. No, like, that's not where the messaging and the branding needs to be for this team right now. Again, even if they beat New England on Sunday, I'm still not completely sold this team is back. I need to see a bigger sample size, and that's what we're talking about with you on the phones. James is up first. When we get back, grab a line, 404-726-0929. We're talking Falcons football with you after hearing from our OC and our HC. How you feeling, folks? Before we get back to your calls, just want to remind you, tomorrow, join the morning shift at Publix on Ponce de Leon in Decatur for a special broadcast. Come on in and pick up your supplies for your weekend football parties, and come say hi to Allie, Mike, and Bo as they broadcast live from the store. It's all brought to you by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix. That's the morning shift, Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. at the Publix on Ponce de Leon in Decatur, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Taking your calls on the Falcons. D-Led coming up at the top of the hour, so let's waste no time. James leads us off. James, what do you think?
Hey, Turtle. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Look, I got three things that I did not like about that. He was saying the offense is better than the 2016. That might be true, but they need somebody to operate it, a coordinator. That's coaching. When he came on the show and said that they'll fix it on the field, you don't fix it on the field. You fix it before you get to the field. And number three, I didn't like the way he called out the fans. That's not a people person. Coaching. Thanks, Turtle.
Yeah, James, appreciate it. Yeah, I didn't either. I'm not going to lie. We talked about it yesterday. I didn't like the tone, man. Oren even called out Mike Bell. He used the classic, you didn't play the game. Come on, man. That's the cheapest trick in the book. That's the lowest hanging fruit that's out there. I get it. Everyone's frustrated. There might be some pins and needles walking because you realize the magnitude of the situation. Jobs could be on the line if you don't get this thing corrected. But to James's point, I didn't like the tone from Raheem, and I certainly wasn't in love with what I heard from Zach Robinson. That cut we played in the first segment, woof. I mean, that was not confidence inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, again, I can't answer for that.
And the question was, what do you say to people who tell you that you're being too predictable? Well, you know, those silly gooses don't know what they're talking about. Okay, moving on. 404-726-0929. Lawrence, what do you think?
Turtle, I don't know where to start. You know, Mike and Carl disagreed with me after the Carolina game when I told them that Raheem Morris is not a leader. Now, I've been watching the Falcons up close and personal longer than most of your listeners have been alive. I agree with the last caller. Coaching is the issue here. We have athletes on this football team. We have damn good athletes on this football team. The coaching is pathetic. These guys do not have a clue what they're doing. You know, we can talk about timeouts. We can talk about clock management going back to last year. All these things, the deer in the headlight look that you get from Raheem Morris almost weekly. This is strike three for him. This is his third time trying to prove that he's an NFL head coach. He is not. Coaching is the problem with this team. We have the players. We're going to be in a situation where it's going to be the same old thing. I've been a season ticket holder for years. I go back to the Jerry Glanville clown show. I can go on and on about this. But, you know, we're going to be in a situation, I'm afraid, at the end of this year, Arthur's going to fire everybody and we're going to start all over again. These guys do not know what they're doing. It's sad. We've got good athletes. Michael Penix could be a great quarterback, but I agree with you. He is not getting taught how to be a great quarterback by this staff.
Well, that's Lawrence, I appreciate it. Love the passion, love the energy, and love the knowledge you bring being a longtime Falcons fan. Thanks for checking in at 404-726-0929. Lawrence is right, y'all. If this team doesn't put together a winning streak, I agree with him. I think Terry and Raheem, unfortunately, will have seen their last days as a member of this organization. I don't know how you can bring either of them back if you have another losing season. That's not even being harsh. That's just facing facts, facing reality. Ample time to turn this thing around. And again, this season, you got the rest of this season, I think, to figure it out. And this game on Sunday is super important. Show us who you are. Show us you're not this team from the past 2 weeks. Can they do it? They can. Will they? I don't know. And that's the part that's the most frustrating. Sam is up next. Sam.
Good evening, Turtle. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you.
Yeah. When I listened to Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson talk, I want to start off with Zach Robinson. When I heard Zach Robinson say what he did, let's keep in mind, when Jeff Ulbrich was introduced as the defensive coordinator, one of the first things he said at his press conference is, if you ask me a question and I don't know the answer, then I deserve to be fired. That's what he said, came right out of his mouth. If I'm a higher up in this organization and I see what Zach Robinson said in his press conference yesterday, the answers he gave, I'd fire Zach Robinson on the spot. But again, accountability has never been a thing in this organization, especially under Arthur Blank. That doesn't exist. And Raheem Morris talking about this is the best offense we've seen since 2016. And if you believe that, Raheem Morris, you're even dumber than I thought. What a clown show. And if I'm Michael Penix and I'm concerned about my development, I am going to Arthur Blank and saying, if you don't fire these clowns, I'm not playing another down for this team. It is that bad. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it. Again, the passion as always. Listen, Sam, and to everybody else, and Lawrence and everybody else who's calling in, Oren, the one thing that we can rest our hats on is that'll take care of itself. Like, if they don't win, guys, we're not going to have to worry about it. Arthur Blank cannot, in good conscience for this fan base, bring either of them back next season if this team does not have a winning record and make the playoffs. I don't see how it's possible. I really don't. I mean, try to be Arthur Blank convincing the fan base that they deserve another shot, either one of them, if this year continues to go the way that it does. Again, time to figure it out, and we all hope and we're all rooting for the team to have success. But after the last 2 weeks, it really sucks all the life out of the room, all the energy out of the room, all the positive vibes from Washington and Buffalo. Sorry, that's just the harsh reality when you lose those two games the way that you did. Dominic is up next.
Hello. Are you ready for me?
I got you.
Okay. I want to say the buck stars with Terry Farnow. He brought these draft picks in, and I want to know who made the decision to bring Kirk Cousins. Was it Raheem Marsh? Was it Terry Farnow? Was it John McKay? Who made the decision
to
do that?
They say, Dominic, it was all of them. Collaborative effort. That's what they said.
Because they could have had five or six free agents with the money they paying Kirk Cousins. That could answer the offensive line, the defensive line, and the cornerbacks. But Terry Farnow, the buck stopped with him. He needs to go first. Then the other two need to go also. But it starts with Terry. And that's what I have to say about him.
No, Dominic, I appreciate the phone call. Listen, Terry is as culpable as anybody. He did have, I will say, just to put a positive note on his column, this year's draft class appears to be, if not very good, potentially great. If Billy Bowman and Jalen Walker can come back healthy with Watts and with James Pierce. So I'll give him that. But the rest of his draft classes have been suspect at best, and there's been a couple of big free agent misses. Y'all remember Matthew Judon last year? Dude basically quit halfway through the year. Y'all remember bringing in, who was it from the Broncos? Oh, Justin Simmons. Is he even in the NFL right now? I don't know. So, yeah, he is certainly as culpable as anybody. But unfortunately, right now, with the trade deadline coming up in about a week, there's only so much this team can do to try to fix those holes. So they need another wide receiver. They need another offensive lineman, maybe another corner. They got needs, man, to Dominic's point. They certainly do. Gabe is up next. Gabe.
Yo, Turtle.
What up?
So, you're right. Terry, last year's free agents left a lot to be desired, you know, especially Duck Lips, Matthew Judon, and I can only get one interception against Patrick Mahomes, Justin Simmons. So, you know, that I won't blame a lot of that. They tried. They knew we had a gap, and they tried, right? Before that, they were stellar. Everybody raved like, oh, this is great. But then you pair that with Jimmy Lake, and we know what the outcome was. So I'll say that, like, at least they have accountability enough to say, like, we made a mistake with Jimmy Lake, we fired him. It's taking too long with Zach. And I think I see the vision with what they wanted with Zach, and I'll tell you what it was. That's why they went and got Kirk Cousins, because he's a veteran quarterback, and you want to pair him with maybe a first-time full-season OC. And you surround him with a coaching staff like Ken Zampezi and all the people who have experience to get Zach the experience. The problem is Zach is not that guy. He hit a wall, so did Kirk. We got wood and nickels from Zach and Kirk. Now how do we address it? If we move forward, you got to fire Zach. Because to the point like that the previous a couple callers ago said, when Jeff Ulbrich came in, he said, if I don't have the answers to give my players of why we aren't winning with the game plan, I deserve to be fired. I don't think Zach can answer those questions, and he hasn't. And he hasn't shown that he can answer those questions. He hasn't shown that he can adjust, and he hasn't shown that he can mature the offense to where it needs to be to match the actual resources he has. So I say they're going to give Raheem another year to get it right because he fired Jimmy Lake. Now everybody's in love with Jeff Ulbrich. A lot of people hated that at first. It was like, oh, it's another friend of Raheem's. But Jeff Ulbrich actually had the experience. Zach did not. So I foresee them firing Zach Robinson and giving Raheem yet another year. And who's going to come over? It's going to be Mike McDaniel. And the offense is going to look like world-class beaters, and everybody's going to be like, oh, maybe he was right. The problem is I think you got to fire Zach. That's where I'm going to start with. And then if Raheem wants to fall on the sword of another offensive coordinator who's going to cost him his job like Dirk Cutter did when he was interim coach, that's on Raheem. And yeah. I can't support that anymore.
No, and I appreciate the phone call. Good points, well articulated. Again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but – I think that problem takes care of itself. I really do. Oren, I think if they lose the next two games in New England and overseas in Germany and the offense doesn't look particularly good, I don't think Zach Robinson makes it home from Germany.
He'll come home from Germany. He just won't be
as a member of the Atlanta Falcons. Say, yeah. He will just be a U.S. citizen coming back from Germany.
I would be upset if they made him fly commercial if it looked really, really bad. But you know,
sit him next to like a screaming kid.
Yeah, but
he's trying to like look at plays on his iPad, and he just gets a kid who's like spitting up all over his mother, and is too young to be flying. But
those aren't fun.
Have you had experiences like that?
Not had experiences on an airplane, but have taken my kids on vacation before, and just having them in a confined space in a travel setting, when they start, it's not fun. Well, you just start panicking.
Like, I will take
what will I give you? I will pay you any amount of money right now if you just stop crying.
There will be a PS5 waiting from Amazon.
I will get you anything and every. Like, you want? Do you want a car right now? You're three or you're 5 months. I will do it all.
We will go see the Blippi movie the second that it comes out. I promise. All right, let's finish up with Chico. Chico, what do you think?
Yes, sir. I have more of a question than a comment.
Sure.
You know, I go back to the beginning of the NFL season, even before preseason. What happened to all of the experts that picked the Atlanta Falcons to go to the Super Bowl? What went wrong between then and now?
Well, a lot of things, Chico. First of all, and I appreciate the phone call, I don't know if anybody had the Falcons going quite to the Super Bowl. I thought they would win 11 games because that's how much I believed in the influx of talent and the growth of Penix before the season. I know Oren had him at 10 wins. Injuries haven't helped, that's for sure. A couple of teams you've played were better than you thought they were going to be. But most importantly, as we've been talking about all night long, the offensive coordinator and the head coach – not only have not progressed, in my opinion, they've both regressed this season. So, Chico, to me, coaching continues to be the biggest issue. We'll talk about this and a whole lot more with D-Led. D. Orlando Ledbetter stops by with all the latest from Flowery Branch. Is Penix going to play this weekend? We'll get the latest from D next. Got 30 more minutes with you on Chris Thomas tonight, and we got a ton to do. Orin and I will make our picks. Give you an update on how that's going. He's got this one game lead on me, y'all, and I can't get over the hump. I can't. It's like I'm stonewalled right now. But we got to talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, great Falcons reporter for the AJC. Make sure you check out all his work there. D, before we move forward to New England,
Chris, how you doing?
What's up, D? Before we before we move on to New England, man, how do you explain what happened last weekend versus the Dolphins?
They didn't have a team ready to play. It's just clear as day. You know, the way they went out and played and failed to execute in all three phases, sloppy with the penalties, didn't cover, you know, couldn't run the ball, all the things you did a couple weeks before you couldn't do. So, hey, they weren't ready to play. So that it was, you know, you mean not ready to play in the NFL, you get your head beat in.
That's very true. What, speaking of the run game, why do you think it's been such a roller coaster with the run game? Why is it some weeks it looks out of this world and the other weeks it literally can't get going at all?
Yeah, I've heard all the execution and misidentifying stuff that they put out there. Just say, hey, you got beat up front. You got your A kicked up front, and that's why you couldn't run the ball. So, you know, that's what happened. You know, you could talk about we missed this guy and that guy wasn't accounted for. And, no, you lost your battles up front. They shut down your run game, and you didn't have an answer.
Do you feel like if he's ready to go, Storm Norton will be starting at right tackle?
No, I don't think he's ready to start. He'd have to be activated. I don't think they're ready to they said he's going to compete for the starting spot, but he ain't going to come off of the IR right into the starting lineup.
Yeah, and that's potentially something that could be an upgrade there. I think Wilkinson, D, for the first couple of weeks did okay, and then over the last few weeks you've started to see why he's been – you know, more of a backup at this point in his career. What about Cousins? What did you think he was going to look like? Did you think it was going to look like that?
No, I thought it would be better. I thought he'd at least hit his short stuff and find a connection with Seals. They had been working out together so much at training camp that was the one thing he could rely on. Ray-Ray, his security blanket, was cut from the team, so I knew he was going to be struggling a little bit, but I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was.
How active do you expect them to be before the trade deadline? There's a couple of spots, corner, offensive line, wide receivers you just mentioned, where it seems like they could really use some upgrades.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be that active. You know, there's some contracts that, you know, are coming up. You know, they got a lot of those. Caden Ellis, David Oyemata, Kyle Pitts, Tyler Algier. But it looks like they're holding on till they get some money to do some extensions with those guys or, you know, maybe let them go. But they're risking getting nothing for or in return for guys that might be free agents at the end of the season. So I am not hearing anything. A receiver would make sense to me. A linebacker would make a lot of sense to a lot of people. But I'm not hearing anything along those lines.
When it comes to Michael Penix, if he does return this weekend, do you expect the full playbook to be available, or do you think there'll be some limitations because of the injury?
Yeah, see, you know, even that's murky because, you know, we don't get to see the full practice. But the you know, warm ups and them moving around, he looked just fine. But you know, and if you remember the hit, he kind of got rolled up on his ankle and his foot. But then they calling it a knee bruise, so a knee bruise. So you used to be able to move with a knee bruise. But I mean, you know, this pro athlete's coming at you at a big high speed, and they don't want to put him in harm's way. So I think the full play. If you play him, you got to expect that you want him out there with the full playbook at his disposal.
Talking all things Falcons with our buddy D-Led. Make sure you check him out in the AJC, all things Atlanta Falcons. All right, you mentioned the coaches in the comments this week. A lot of headlines coming out about Raheem Morris comparing the offense to 2016 and Zach Robinson kind of fumbling over some word salad about how to fix the predictability of the offense. How much do you think Arthur Blank is keeping a close eye on these things?
Oh, he watches everything. He's old school. He even reads the newspaper still. So he's on top of it all, getting ready to go to Berlin next week. You know, he likes to be kept abreast of what's going on with the team and how they are progressing, you know, and if there are issues, you know, he tries to, you know, do it in the guise of support, be able to help them out and get them through these things. You know, a lot of this is predictable. You knew Zach was going to run into some problems. He's a first-time coordinator. Now, did you anticipate that? What are your remedies? Do you have the senior executive to help him out? You know, all the coordinators that have been here, it wasn't a one-man show. I know Mike Mularkey used to lean on Terry Rubisky. Derek Cutter had his people, too. So, you know, when you see the offense has problems, it's a staff issue. It's not one guy. So Zach's getting the heat for that. But you got to look at T.J. Yates and how he can help him, and D.J. Williams, how he can help him come out of, you know, this funk where they're not scoring points.
Even before the injury, how would you assess Michael Penix Jr.'s performance this season? I think it's been up and down. I think people have to juxtapose D, and it's tough, what the expectations they want to have for him and the understanding that he's only made 8 or 9 starts in his career.
Yeah, 9. I was saying C kind of, you know, because he started out great in the Tampa Bay game where they tried to heat him up and then he was getting the ball out quick. But then he started holding on a little bit more, looking for shots. Then he started taking some of his routes away. You know, then he was checking it down too quick to Bijan. That was working, though. But then the 49ers took that check down the way they didn't counter it. You know, and he didn't have nothing to do, so he ended up holding on the ball that long. But I haven't seen the deep balls other than a double move by London. But he has been able to check it down and has performed well against the blitz early on. Then his numbers start going down against the blitz as he progressed. So he's a rookie, and he's got a C plus right now. He needs to turn it up a little bit, to make sure that his value, you know, to prove that he was worthy of the 8th overall pick in the draft.
When it comes to the state of the team right now, do you think there's a number or a certain level at which this team would get to in which changes could be made in season? Because we know that Arthur Blank is not generally a fan of doing that. We know Ike Hilliard, but that was a minor move. I'm talking one of the coordinators or maybe even the head coach.
No, I don't think so, and I don't know where that would be beneficial, because then you pretty much just throw in the season in the tank. Well, if the season goes sideways, which, you know, there's a script for that too, everything will be on the books, because they hired Raheem because of the staff he could bring with him, because of the player attraction he could bring around the league and the respect that he had. And for you to throw it away a year and a half in means that you made the wrong choice. So if you wanted to tear it down, you had a chance to do that and go with Belichick. So now you want to get down the road a year and a half later and say, oh, I got to tear it down. So that don't make sense. That's not rational in how the owner would probably do things. He's more inclined to be like, hey, what do we need to keep, you know, moving us forward? What do we need to build this thing out? Do we need more talent in the coaching room? Do we need more talent in the personnel room? And he's always been willing to give them whatever they need. They better produce, but I'm thinking he's more inclined to do more than tear it down.
D, there was a stat that came out late last week from Matthew Berry, the fantasy football expert, that in games the Falcons have won, Tyler Allgeier averages 14 touches a game. In games that they've lost, it's almost half that, if that. There's been games where he's had one touch, four touches. Do you believe there's a direct correlation there?
No, I don't. That's just a, you know, numbers thing, that's coincidental. Because usually if he's getting touches, that means Bijan's wore down the defense. and Tyler's in to close out the game. So that's cool. That's usually that should be a Bijan stat. I want to know what his yards are when Tyler gets those 14 carries. That'd make more sense for me.
So when you look to make adjustments to the game plan, what do you think Zach Robinson should rely on in terms of making those adjustments? Is there a player or two or something you've seen throughout these games that you feel like they're either doing too much or not doing enough in order to create the productivity for the offense?
Yeah, you know, I'm fine with running everything through Bijan, but then you've got to have some people make explosive plays off of that. Now, whether that's Mooney, London, or Pitts, you know, you haven't had London and Mooney for every game. So, you know, they tried to throw it to Pitts last game 9 times. He caught them all. I don't know about the 4th down and 7th screen, but that was the play they ran. But those are the 3 guys. You know, you're not throwing it to Charlie Warner. You know, so you got 3 guys there. And then you need Casey Washington to take up that Ray Ray slack since you don't part of ways with him. But those are the 4 guys. People complain about the wide receivers. I do too sometimes. But they kept 4 of them on the practice squad. And I like Chris Blair. A lot of people like Nick Nash. And Dylan Drummond got a shirt last week. So, I mean, they got receivers more, you know, when you do a quick look at a deeper look at it. They just haven't played and produced at the national football level. So I think that the counters are there. I mean, everybody's sitting on the stretch run like Bijan, come off of it, throw a backside post to Casey Washington. Nobody could run with him. You know, let me see that. Dump, and if that's covered, dump it down the pit. You know, it's not real hard on how to throw off of the running back that everybody's keying on.
Before I let you go, did we ever get to the bottom of what really happened with Ray Ray?
No, we're still working on that. You know, there's a, you know, nobody's been on the record, a lot of stuff behind the scenes, but it's not, you know, the folks that will say anything behind the scenes let you know it wasn't performance based. That's kind of their buzzword. There's some friction somewhere in the building that led to both of those dismissals. But for now, on the record, performance based is what the Falcons have. But, and the people on the other side are, you know, probably kind of, you know, I kill you can. He probably don't want to blow up his money. Ray Ray's got to get situated with the Giants. But it'll come all out in the wash.
You think they shock New England this weekend?
No, I don't. I don't know which team's going to show up. And, the injury list is getting longer. You know, my guys in the locker room say that they're still together and they're going to fight. There did appear to be a little bit more intensity during the stretching periods. That's how we get to see. But this New England team's hot. And I saw what they did to Buffalo. It's going to take the Falcons are going to have to stop the run to even have a chance in this game.
D, appreciate you as always. We'll check you out in the AJC. Should be an interesting couple of weeks, my friend.
No doubt about it, Turtle. No doubt about it. And we'll be there to write it all up for everybody.
All right, D. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye now.
All right. That is D. Orlando Ledbetter.
Pretty succinct exit there.
Yeah. Yeah. I unfortunately tend to agree. I think they can shock the world there in New England. Do I think they're going to? Haven't seen enough. Just have not seen enough. All right. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. 404-726-0929. Orin and I will also make our picks. Then we'll take you to Thursday Night Football on Chris Thomas Tonight. Orin, I love the way when we brought D-Led on, he was like, "Hey, Turtle." Like, I know what this is about to be. Oh, man, you got to love D-Led. He is a trip. One of the best in the biz. 404-726-0929. We'll squeeze in a call or two. We'll make our predictions, then we'll get out of Dodge. Chris is up first. Chris, what do you think?
Hey, how's it going, man? I've been trying to call you guys all week, talk fouls, but I finally got through. I just want to make a couple quick points here.
Yep.
The thing that frustrates me most about my Atlanta Falcons is that when we lay an egg, it's on an entirely different scale. Why do we, when we have a bad game, we look bad in every single phase on both sides of the ball. So it puts into question, do we have a good pass rush or do we not? Do we have a good run offense or do we not? It's hard to gauge what you can hang your head on with this team when they look so bad every other game. And another point I want to make is a lot of people this week are mad at Kirk Cousins for, you know, requesting a trade and, you know, causing a little bit of disgruntlement in the locker room and causing a little bit of chaos. Well, this team needs that. I'm sick and tired of the choir boy say the right thing at the press conference approach. We need an Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown type of chaos. I want to see some helmets being slammed. I want to see some field goal posts being knocked over because the approach we're taking, it shows a lack of care to the fans and it's not working. So let's try an opposite approach. Let's get a little bit of chaos and recklessness into this locker room and into
Well, Chris, and I appreciate the phone call. I don't know if we want to go that far. Like,
there's chaos.
Like he's talking about like Heath Ledger Joker hospital scene. Like
now you have Bill Romanowski out there swinging helmets at people.
Yeah, like let's go get Jack Lambert and bring him in here. Like no,
you didn't do that, man.
That's not going to help either, Chris.
But I don't think the division leaders right now in the NFL. Nobody's talking about the Buffalo Bills have the right amount of crazy.
Well, they do have Matt Collins.
They have Matt Collins, but he just walks around barefooted. You're not going out there taking his shirt off during games and running away. Like,
But I understand to a certain extent his point. Like, so if the team feels lifeless right now, so you got to shake it up a little bit. But I don't think Kirk Cousins is not a shake it up kind of guy. He just wants to get the heck out of here so he can go play quarterback somewhere else. So, Chris, I understand your sentiment, but I certainly wouldn't want, you know, a volatile guy to come in here and just cause problems in the locker room. I think that's taking it a little too far. Frank is up next. Frank.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey, I called, you know, the morning show earlier this week. And my problem with the Atlanta Falcons is, one, they give up on the run too soon when the passing game is totally inept, and then it causes them to not even participate in the game as far as time of possession. And the defense is fine, but how can you play defense when you're out there the whole game? So run, stick with the run until you can use the run to open up the passing game. That's it. I just think it's just that simple. That's all.
Well, and I appreciate it, but the problem is, Frank, the running game has been completely taken away from you the last couple of weeks. And again, that's on We're going to say this for the millionth time. Here's the million and one. Zach Robinson and the offensive staff need to adjust. To Frank's point, find different ways to run the ball other than running zone wide to the right or to the left. Try something else. Maybe a jet sweep. Maybe a pitch. Maybe just run straight up the middle with Tyler Allgeier. Do different things to get the offensive run game activated again, because it's been completely deactivated, to Frank's point, the last couple of weeks. And that is a huge part of the issue. All right. Appreciate everybody who called in. Appreciate D-Led. We got a couple minutes left, so let's make our picks. Oren is 16 and 11, and I am 15 and 12. So we're both doing pretty well on the season, but Oren is, again, he's put up a brick wall that I cannot climb over. He's been a game ahead of me for like four straight weeks.
This one might be a little tough for this week, though.
Yeah, we'll see. This one, does Lamar do enough? Ravens minus 7.5 at Miami. Big number, but Lamar's back. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they cover tonight. If there's one game I feel like, I'm going to use the term destined to win, but this feels like the game that maybe for the rest of the season. It sort of defines what happens the rest of the year for the Ravens.
So I agree. Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. For that exact – actually, ironically, for that exact reason, I think this is the Ravens season tonight. If they win, they can advance the next week. If they lose, I think they're at 2-6. It's not going to happen. Georgia Tech, minus 5.5 on the road versus NC State, who's like a little pesky, but I don't think should be an issue. I got burned by Georgia Tech last week, so I'm not going to have that happen again. I'm going to say Georgia Tech on the road covers the 5.5.
Yeah, give me Tech in the 5.5 right now. There is probably no quarterback in college football playing as well as Haynes King, unless your name is Tyler Simpson or Tristan Chambliss or
Marcel Reed.
It's like four guys right now playing better quarterback than Haynes King in the entire country.
Yeah, he's been amazing. We've seen it game in and game out. All right, cocktail party, baby. UGA is a minus 7.5-point favorite. They're technically the road team. Florida. I don't know. This is tricky because I don't know what type of Florida team is going to come out. They could come out with some NCE new coach energy and just say to the guys out there, hey, you know, screw it. We got nothing to play for. Let's knock Georgia off. So the touchdown, the 7.5 to me is a little big. I'm going to say Georgia wins, but Florida covers.
I am going to Riverside you.
Ooh.
I think Georgia, on the strength of their running game, Florida's going to be missing a couple of Caleb Banks, really good defensive tackle, is going to be out. So there's going to be a void that needs to be filled in the middle of that defense. And Georgia, I think for the first time since like game one of the season, they're going to have a healthy and intact offensive line. So give me Georgia cover.
Falcons, they're 5.5-point dogs at the New England Patriots. The last time their season was on the line, they responded. We'll see if they
last time the O-line was called into question, yep, they responded.
I think they do it again. I think they win this game 27-20. What do you think, O?
They need this one bad. They need this one more than what the Patriots need their win. So, yeah, give me the Falcons to go.
All right, 3 out of 4. We'll see if I can get that game back on O. Thanks to Big O. Thanks to everybody who called in. And I'll talk to you next week, and we'll be breaking down this thing on the Falcons flyover Sunday evening right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.